Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at Facebook.com/RadioCafe. Later in the program, we will be speaking to Naomi Rose about her new children's book, Tashi and the Tibetan Flower Cure, and Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. I'm very happy now to welcome back to the show Christy Carson. She is the artistic director of Santa Fe Rep, and she is the director and producer and actor in the new production of Pippin, which just opened last night and is happening this weekend and next weekend. Welcome back to the Radio Cafe.
Great. Hi.
So good to have you back. Pippin, 1972 New York Broadway production, very famous, hasn't been produced all that many times since, is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I don't know why it's not done very much. A ticket buyer just said to me the other day, she said, I saw this on Broadway, but she's never seen it since. So it's not done that much, which is one reason why I wanted to do it, but also because I love Fosse. But and I think maybe the reason is because it's a little daunting trying to follow in Fosse's footsteps. And the choreographer, Arielle Gottschall, has done a terrific job. She has really got the feel for Fosse, and the dancing is terrific, and the dancers are terrific.
Now, Bob Fosse, the great choreographer, I mean, as you know, this is in a way inevitably a tribute to his work when you do a production of Pippin, because you can't, I mean, maybe some people have tried to do something completely different, but basically you're following.
Right. I absolutely wanted to, and I have this in the program, a tribute to Bob Fosse. I've written something about him, and then I also included the original 1972 bio from the original Playbill on Broadway, his bio, so that's in the program as well. So absolutely, like last year, Sondheim's Company was a tribute to Sondheim for his 80th birthday, and this, certainly in the memory of Bob Fosse, is a tribute.
Let's talk about the origins of Pippin. Pippin is the story, the fictionalized story of the son of Charlemagne, of all things.
Right, and I always say, and it is always said, that it's loosely based on the story of Charlemagne and his son Pepin, P-E-P-I-N. And Stephen Schwartz wrote this musical during Carnegie Mellon, and when he graduated, he rose quickly to Broadway fame with doing a Godspell on Broadway. But so when he did Pippin, he was only 25 years old, and again, just hot off this success of Godspell on Broadway.
Imagine that. Imagine being 25 and already having done Godspell, and now
right.
You're on to this next thing.
I know. And so then, anyway, so they paired him with Fosse. I'm not quite sure how that came to be, but Fosse, by this time, was already a Broadway veteran, had a lot of shows under his belt. So it was this pairing of this young, hotshot kid and this Broadway veteran, and apparently it didn't go too well. I mean, Stephen Schwartz had his idea of what the show would be. And Fosse, seeing that the book wasn't really that strong, he thought, okay, here's an opportunity to really put my imprint on the show and make it a Fosse show.
Now, Schwartz did the story and the music?
No, the book is actually Roger Ohursan. So he wrote the music, and then Roger Ohursan wrote the book. But it was just well known in circles at that time that the book wasn't really that strong. And so Fosse, again, came in and colored it with things that are personal to him, like such as the distant relationship between him and his father that's expressed in the relationship between Charlemagne and Pippin, his obsession with death, with the firebox at the end, the finale, where all the players, this traveling minstrel group, is trying to get Pippin to go into the firebox to end his life. And so that obsession with death, which certainly is reflected in his movie, All That Jazz.
Right.
Yeah. And where he actually foretells his own dying.
I know.
I put that in the program that he shortly, he foretold that. And then 23 minutes after the curtain went up on his revival of Sweet Charity, which was playing Washington, D.C. at that time, 23 minutes after the curtain went up on that premiere, he died. So, anyway, so that obsession with death, that's certainly a Fosse theme, and his love of women and the female body and sexual configurations.
And that's all in there.
It's all in there.
In a way that feels, when you do a production from that era, you know, the early 1970s, it has, it's dated in some ways, or it shows its era in some ways, even though it still holds up, you know. But that the way that kind of exploration of the sexual stuff on stage in a stylized way.
Pippin does follow in a line of those 60s era musicals, yeah. Like Hair, like Jesus Christ Superstar. So it's on the tail end of that era. And and Bob Fosse saw, just getting back to Ben Vereen, he saw Ben Vereen do Jesus Christ Superstar and was really impressed with him and cast him as the leading player in Pippin. And at first, when his agent recommended him not to do it, and
Ben Vereen's agent said, don't
said,
do Pippin?
Said, don't do it. And Ben Vereen said, look, it's Fosse. I'm doing it. Doesn't even matter. It's Fosse. I'm doing it. And then when he got the script, apparently, he was like crying because it's all this enter Catherine, enter Fastrada, enter Lewis. You know, it was a very slim part. And Fosse said to Ben Vereen, he said, well, trust me. You know, I'm going to make it great. And then, sure, it ended up being a wonderful showcase for his talents, and he ended up getting the Tony Award for it. So,
Tell us about his role. He's a kind of a he frames a lot of the scenes that you see.
Right. And, well, he's called leading player.
Leading player, right.
And it's because, really, what's happening is it's a group of traveling minstrels that have come together, that travel together. They're like on the road. They're gypsies. And they perform this everywhere they go, this story of Charlemagne and his son. And so he is the leading player of all these traveling, like I said, minstrels and players. And so he does have a lot of control over the actors. In fact, everyone in the show, even Pippin, Charlemagne, my role, Fastrada, we're all players playing roles. So it's almost like a play within a play.
Tell us about your role. You're kind of a villainess, would you call it, or kind of bad girl?
Right, exactly. Fastrada is the stepmother, and when she's introduced by leading player, he says that she's crafty and devious and cunning, and she doesn't have a great relationship with Pippin. She has her own son, Lewis, who she really wants him to become king and not Pippin.
And he's perhaps more bronze than brain.
Yes, exactly, and Pippin is the opposite. So, yeah, she's what I call a juicy character, has some grit and meat to her, and I enjoy playing characters like that.
Yeah, we saw you in Anything Goes play a kind of
gangster mall
in
that as well. Yeah, well, I will occasionally cast myself in Santa Fe Rep Productions when I think it's appropriate. So,
now, the role of the leading player is played by Campbell Martin.
Right.
Who's a terrific performer.
Yeah, I feel so blessed to have Campbell on board for this project. I mean, he's just really, somebody else said to me, there was nobody else in Santa Fe that could play that role, because that's what we call a triple threat role, where you're dancing, you're singing, you're acting.
Yeah.
And Campbell just does a great job, as does Pippin. Justin Barbie as Pippin is just so lovable and just adorable. And
yeah,
and
cute and youthful and yes, innocent and yes, discovering the world.
Right, exactly. And that's the story, is Pippin's search for meaning. And that's another Fosse theme as well, that search for meaning and fulfillment. And Pippin goes on this path of, he tries war, he tries politics, he tries sex, he tries all these different things, and nothing ultimately is fulfilling. And I won't tell you how he finds fulfillment in the end in an unexpected way, but that's the through line. That is the impetus of the story, is Pippin's search for meaning. And again, that is a Fosse theme, to find that search of meaning in life.
Now, this is being performed at the Moving People Dance Space.
Right.
Which is on Pacheco Street, a block or two north of St. Mike's.
Right, 1583. And I chose that space. Usually I've done everything at Warehouse 21. And this being, again, such a dance show, I wanted it to be in a dance space. Not only the dance floors, but to get to rehearse and rehearsal rooms with mirrors and all that. And also I like to bring attention and support to Moving People Dance. I mean, everybody in town needs support. Warehouse 21, movie, you know, we all need support. So.
Yeah. And so it's Pippin, which is being presented by Santa Fe Rep. Let's talk about Santa Fe Rep, because you started this company. Is it, would you call it a company, a presenting organization, a couple of years ago, and you do basically one major production a year?
Well, actually, no. The first year, in 2009, I did one production. And then last year, that was Anything Goes. And then last year, I did Sondheim's Company and Women's Voices.
Oh, that's
which
right.
Which was a celebration of women playwrights and directors and girls from PrEP and NMSA performing monologues. And then so this year, again, we're doing Pippin and Women's Voices, too. When we're going to do that, because there was such an overwhelming response from local playwrights that we really didn't get to do as much as we wanted to. So we'll do kind of part two this May, and then we'll do next year another musical and another non-musical. And I'm doing two a year, but certainly my goal is to amp up to three a year, but I want to make sure the financial infrastructure is in place before I expand beyond what's reasonable and practical.
Christy Carson is the artistic director of Santa Fe Rep. They're on the web, and you can get tickets for Pippin at sfrep.org. You can also call 505-629-6517. It's tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, and then Sunday at 4, and then the following week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in the evening, and then Sunday at 4 in the afternoon. Christy Carson, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, as always. Appreciate it.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome to the program Naomi C. Rose. Her new children's book is called Tashi and the Tibetan Flower Cure. Welcome back to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So you have a series of books about basically Tibetan children, or now in this case, the child of Tibetan immigrants living in the United States.
Right, right. Yeah, this book is a bit of a departure. My first two books are about Tibetan folk tales, wisdom tales from Tibet, so the characters reside in Tibet. This one is about a Tibetan American girl. So, and it's a very beautiful story, and it's actually based on a true story.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that's very interesting to me, because it was such a touching story that I read about 10 years ago from a hospice worker who worked with a Tibetan man who was terminally ill. And then the hospice worker discovered the flower cure, that he had a tradition of that, and did that flower cure, and he became well.
What is the flower cure? We have a sense of it in the children's book, but...
Right. But basically, that's it. Like it says in the children's book, the people in this Tibetan village would sit downwind from flowers and let themselves be dusted by the pollen that floats on the breeze. They felt that the pollen was very healing for them. But like what happens in the book, it's not just the flowers or the pollen, it's the community, it's the love. And that's what I was so touched by in the true story, and that's what I try and convey in the children's book.
And that's what's so beautiful about this book. I mean, it almost really brings tears to your eyes because there's a little granddaughter who loves her grandfather. You have this extended family that's living in a pretty harmonious way. And, of course, that's one of the subtexts of it is immigrant families in the United States living in right. extended families.
Right. Yeah. So it's crossing cultures in a lot of ways. It's integrating various cultures as well as integrating generations. You don't get that very often these days.
And the little girl knows that there is something called the flower cure, and she remembers it while looking at one of the Tibetan paintings that has flowers mm-hmm. on it. And she decides she's going to do it, and in her awkward way,
right.
actually kind of manages to effect this cure.
Right. She does her part, and then it grows. That's what's so beautiful, that it grows and community comes together in support of this man. And then there's more rewards than one can imagine. He's not only healthier, he's happier, and so is she. And they have all these new friends and community, and the community's benefiting because they're learning about the Tibetan way.
Exactly. So, yeah. Now, you're both the artist and the writer of this
yes.
book. And what are the inspirations for the art? It seems like also kind of Western illustration, whatever, but also with some of that Tibetan influence.
Right, the Tibetan influence. I really wanted to put in some Tibetan items. I also like the impressionistic approach, so I try, especially for the flowers, keep that going. And I actually used a family in Santa Fe to model for me.
Is that right?
So it's very much a Santa Fe book.
In the back, you talk about the various things that Tibetan families are doing in the United States and whenever they go abroad to keep their traditions alive, like cultural centers and so on.
Right, yeah, that's very important to them. It's a beautiful culture. Obviously, I'm very enamored with it. And I just think it has a lot to offer our kids and our culture.
Like what? So,
well, they're ways of peace and kindness, and their ways of not stressing to the same degree. Like if something doesn't go well, they don't necessarily stress and think that's horrible. They have a broader perspective. Well, maybe there's something right about it. Maybe it'll lead to something good. That's one of the messages in my first book, you know.
Yeah, that first book that we talked about, because everything that you think is bad then turns out to have an effect that
yeah.
might be good, and
yeah.
then those good things turn out to have an effect. I mean, I think I told you the last time we did an interview on that book, if I had that book when I was
yeah.
7 years old.
Right.
My life probably would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, mine too. I use that story all the time for myself,
yeah.
just to remember, because it's so easy to get stressed. But yeah, the Tibetans have, and the other big thing that I think is a great offering to our culture is, and the children, is their love of all beings. They won't hold an enemy in their hearts. They will pray for everybody. And that's really
hard
beautiful.
To do.
It's really hard to do. Believe me, I try to practice that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who thinks that way, in theory, tries to practice that. But in practice, I mean, what is it in the Tibetan practices that allow people to be successful with that?
Well, they believe that, first of all, in karma. So they don't want to wish harm on anybody because they believe that's going to come back to them.
Right.
But in the highest sense, that they there's just a big heart. They really wish for everyone. They're brought up that way, to wish for the highest good for everyone. All the animals, the trees, the hills, the insects. They have belief systems that they are relatives from another life. And that helps them. I don't know if that's particularly true or not, but that's their system to help them stay in their hearts and treat everybody with kindness. It's not a bad way to think about it, you know.
No, and I think, I mean, it's interesting, the more we learn about evolution and the more our world becomes interconnected, the more it actually seems to be true.
Right.
I mean, in a not just a belief sense, but in a reality sense,
yeah.
that we are in fact related to every insect and every biological being, and if we wish harm on them, then things get really out of whack.
Right. And the Dalai Lama, one of the lovely things he says is that if everyone is happy, they would be kind. They would treat everyone with kindness. So by wishing everyone happiness, you're wishing that basically that's the best way to get everyone to be kinder and treat you kinder.
So when you bring this book out, are you particularly making it available to Tibetan American communities,
as well as children in general, libraries, schools. Adults are enjoying it too, which is always a nice thing for me to hear.
Has this been a successful series?
Well, this is a different book with a different publisher from the Tibetan Tales books, but they've all been successful in their own way. This is this book, Tashi and the Tibetan Flower Cure, is just out. Only a couple months, so it's getting great reviews. So
is it? Are there going to be more Tashi books?
Not that I know of, but I am going to work with this publisher again on some other Tibetan American themes. It's a beautiful thing to watch how they're integrating into our culture.
Naomi Rose is author of the book Tashi and the Tibetan Flower Cure, and she will be at the ARC bookstore tomorrow, Saturday, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, right here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He's with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a sleepy Friday morning.
It is a sleepy Friday morning. It was really hard to get out of bed this morning.
Yeah. I found the same thing.
Yeah. But we both got here on time, so.
We did indeed.
Yeah.
So what's happening this weekend and beyond?
Well, all kinds of stuff, actually. There's plenty of art openings. I have too many calendars in front of me. Just a second. All right. Eggman and Walrus Art Emporium has a great show called Everything Must Go. Which is, it's not a closeout sale. It's not like every other store on the plaza.
Everything must go.
It's not like every other store on the plaza. This place is staying open, and in fact, they are expanding. They have a ground floor entrance on West Palace Avenue, 130 West Palace Avenue, and it's always been curious to me that they never had any signage on San Francisco Street, which enters the building in which they reside. But now they have they are expanding into another building, and so there is a grand opening expansion sort of reception tonight. So there's a noon to 6 p.m. Expansion celebration at 129 West San Francisco Street, and then from 5:30 to 9 p.m. there is a reception for the Everything Must Go paintings by John Barker exhibit. And I'm not sure how long that is going. Oh, that's up through December 6th, so you have a while to catch that. But I'm glad that these guys are expanding. You know, it's rough out there for galleries, and especially one like Eggman and Walrus, which doesn't necessarily, you know, deal in the bluest chip art, but does supports a lot of young emerging artists, which is great that they're that they're expanding. And I hope they stick around. I'm going to try and go there.
Well, maybe in this new world that we're living in, it's not about blue chips anymore.
Maybe not. The markets will tell. What else is happening? Oh, well, there's I just heard the interview about Pippin.
Yeah,
when
Pippin.
When I was driving, I named my car Pippin when I first got it.
Oh.
Like 6 years ago. So.
I named my Toyota Studs Tercel.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm still driving him today. He's 26 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
A special musical tribute to Karen Carpenter, starring Stephanie Duran, on Sunday, the 6th of November. It's at La Casa Cena Cantina at 125 East Palace Avenue. And for more information, 988-9232. Apparently, they did a Janis Joplin tribute, and it went fabulously and was totally sold out. So now this is a Karen Carpenter tribute.
So is it just Karen Carpenter, or is there more than one Carpenter?
Yeah, what was her brother's name?
John Carpenter? No, dude. That's the filmmaker. That's the guy that made The Thing. Never mind.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. No, I think it's a one-person show. But, I mean, if she can do that silky voice, then that's something to see.
Yeah. No, I've never been to one of these sort of, I guess they're tribute shows.
Tribute shows, yeah.
I'm not sure if they dress up or if there are costume changes.
I'm guessing that there are at least some clothing accoutrements. That's just my guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, naked carpenters would be cool, too, but I don't think you can do that at La Casa Santa.
It's yesterday once more, namely the 70s.
Yeah. Right on, man.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Oh, there's a book sale today from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian Library over there on Museum Hill. there is an admission fee. There's a large admission fee today, and there is a much smaller admission fee on Saturday. And it's rare and scholarly native and Southwest books, or native themed and Southwest themed books, actually. If you call 603-2736, you can find out more information about it. And here's something I'm really jazzed about. The, what is it? Oh, if I can find it. The New Mexico Vinyl Junkie Record Show. This is going to be cool. I wrote about it in my Soundwaves column today. It's a celebration of the vinyl LP and New Mexico's DJ culture. There's going to be like 12 vendors of actual records, LPs and 7-inches and all kinds of stuff. And there's going to be live music, and there's going to be DJs, and there's this sort of a buy, sell, and trade atmosphere. There's going to be food, and here's the awesome thing. I believe the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society is going to be there.
Yay.
Trying to adopt away some beautiful animals.
Oh.
So that...
I just heard about a little dachshund who's up for adoption. Somebody moved in with another person who doesn't like animals. And this beautiful, sweet 12-year-old dachshund needs a home.
Oh, 12 years old?
Yeah. I adopted a 12-year-old dachshund and had 2 wonderful years with that dog. I love that dog.
Wow.
But anyway...
That's a long life.
It's a long life, but anyway, if anybody is interested, write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org, because it's not through one of the shelters.
Yeah, the New Mexico Vinyl Junkie Record Show is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. the Santa Fe Women's Club at 1616 Old Pecos Trail. There is a small entry fee, but if you're under 18, there's no charge. It's I know actually one of the guys that I work with is actually going to set up a table, and he's got some really killer hip hop.
Do you listen to vinyl?
I used to, but when I moved back out to Pecos, I shed all of my vinyl and most of my CDs. But vinyl is becoming so popular now. There's a new record store in Santa Fe. There's Warner Brothers is releasing a bunch of stuff on vinyl this holiday season.
So the turntable industry must be resurrecting out of a deep dormancy.
Yes, yes. I mean, and the portability of turntables now is ridiculous. And they're going to be raffling a portable turntable off away at this event. It's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday at the Santa Fe Women's Club. If you are interested in setting up a booth, or if you just want more information, you can call 213-210-6770. And that's going to be a really cool event. You can read all about it in my Soundwaves column today. And you've already spoken about the wonderful Pippin, which sounds like it's going to be a great production. I plan to.
I went to the rehearsal, and they weren't in costume yet, so it was kind of people in their civilian clothes,
man,
doing the dances and
but
stuff.
But you got
on
to
stage.
See the choreography.
But yeah, the choreography is beautiful, and like anything in when you're not. What happens is if you do a musical in a place like Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah.
The people in the audience, at least me, compare it inadvertently to Broadway level.
Or, mm-hmm.
And it's never going to be that. It's impossible.
No.
And so for what it is, it's very good.
Yeah.
But so you have to put yourself in that mindset.
Yeah. And you should do so also for the Rocky Horror Show, which is Santa Fe High School Theater Department's adaptation of Richard O'Brien's horror comedy musical. And this is a midnight showing here on Tonight.
Good.
Over there at
audience participation?
Santa Fe High School. Huh?
Audience participation.
I am so sure. Bring toast.
and
but,
toasters.
But clean up after yourself. This is a school.
Yes.
You know, set an example.
Just like the Occupy people are cleaning up after themselves.
There's a second show actually on Saturday, November 5th. And I believe that is also... Is that a midnight show? No. The Saturday show is at 7:33 p.m. So if you're not if you don't like to stay up late, you can go to the 7:33 show on Saturday.
Hey, how about Tonight at the Lenzic?
Tonight at the Lenzic.
Becoming Unusual. Were you done with the...
Yeah.
Okay. Becoming Unusual, the Education of an Eclectic. Tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lenzic, it's a solo concert of song, dramatic monologues, lecture, and video from Rinde Eckert. I don't know if he pronounces it German. Rinde Eckert's Anthology of Theatrical Loners. It's part of the Lenzic Presents series. And I was watching him on YouTube, and he is a very dramatic, impassioned performer.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Bill McKibben.
Bill McKibben.
Which I'm searching for. Oh, here it is.
Wednesday.
Yes. It is
Lenzik.
It is Wednesday at the Lenzik at 7 p.m. The author environmentalist discusses and signs copies of his book Earth, which is with two A's.
Earth.
Now, I haven't read it, so I'm not sure why there are two A's.
I have read it, and I'll tell you why there are two A's.
Okay.
In fact, we did an interview this week, yesterday.
Yeah.
There are two A's because he is making the point that the Earth that we were born onto and grew up in is not the same Earth as the Earth we're living on now. It has changed so dramatically and is changing so rapidly that we must think of it as a new Earth.
Is it a new Earth that can stick around for a while? Or
well, I mean...
Is he hopeful?
I think it's dicey. I mean, there's a lot of reason for hope if you look at the people who are doing good things and knowing that there are some real solutions out there, but politically, I got my doubts. But he's a wonderful speaker. He's a wonderful writer. Everybody should read this book. If you read one book this year, read Earth. I'm serious.
Okay.
And I read a lot of books, but that's the one, because it's the most important thing you can focus on right now. But he's speaking. It's a benefit for the Santa Fe Art Institute, which is a wonderful institution that is so community-oriented and works at such a wonderful level. Mm-hmm. So everybody who's listening, go.
Go. And that is... that. Let's see. That
it's Wednesday.
It is. It's Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock at the Wednesday.
98-1234.
Yes.
TicketSantaFe.org or TicketSantaFe.com. Let's see. What else is happening? There's a few openings also besides Eggman and Walrus tonight. There's Verve Gallery Photography, which is our cover story at Fossa Tiempo today. We have three really great photographers. We have Jeff Charbonneau and Eliza French, who sort of call themselves Charbonneau French, and they have been, I believe, photographing almost exclusively together since about 2006, I want to say. If I can find her name. Oh, Jennifer B. Hudson. Now, Jennifer B. Hudson works only in digital right now, and Charbonneau and French use only film right now, but they both share part of a process, which is that they set up these huge, almost like still life / portraits. Like, it's half photography, half installation when they're doing the shoot. And they both have interesting approaches, narrative approaches to their photography. And that the show is called Alternate Realities, which sort of speaks to the narrative aspect of the show. And that is at Verve Gallery Photography. There is an opening tonight from 5 to 7 p.m., and that's up through December. And there's a story on page 40 in Pasta Tiempo today. And it's a beautiful cover. Very ethereal.
It is a beautiful cover. Somebody playing a very odd harp.
Yes. Very odd. There's a lot of odd stuff in both of these shows in terms of... it's there's a lot of fantasy. There's a lot of... we did a story last week on steampunk, and there's this Jennifer Hudson's work. There's this sort of strange medical / steampunk punk aspect to their work. Actually, she and her husband built a set at the Santa Fe Art Institute, and they shot one of her series of photographs that's in this show there, and it's pretty cool stuff. So
cool.
Check that out. Anyway, I could go on and on about that, but there's other stuff going on. There's Lou Allen Galleries at the Rail Yard, Tides of Memory, new paintings by Michael Collins, and Temple of Eternal Memories, photographs by Barry Brukoff, and there's a reception tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And yes, there are plenty of other openings throughout the weekend. There's one in El Dorado that you should go to, too. Destiny Allison Fine Art at La Tienda in El Dorado is having a show called Paper, Stone, Wood.
Excellent.
And that's a sculpture by Jacqueline Malegni, I believe is how you pronounce it. There's a reception from 4 to 7 p.m. If I butcher your name, please email me and give me a phonetic spelling so that it never happens again.
Yes.
Because I don't mean to. I never mean to, really. I promise. Oh, there's also a tribute to John Coltrane this weekend.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. We Four, tribute to John Coltrane. Friends of Santa Fe Jazz present Jimmy Cobb on drums, Eric Reed on piano, Von Jackson on tenor saxophone, and Nat Reeves on bass. That's 7:30 p.m. at Vanessa over there on West San Francisco Street. And let's see. This is a benefit for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation of New Mexico.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. Tickets are available at the Lenzik, 988-1234.
And speaking of the Lenzik, Donald Jackson, Illuminating the Word, on Monday. He is the calligrapher who did the St. John's Bible in its entirety.
Yes.
The entire Bible from beginning to end with a quill. I imagine more than one quill. And the quills are made from the feathers of swans. I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy's an incredible artist. And he illuminated it, which means illustrated it, and the illustrations have gold leaf in them. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff is at the New Mexico History Museum, that whole exhibit. But he's talking at 6 o'clock on Monday night at the Lenzic and showing examples of the process of his calligraphy and illumination and all that stuff.
Oh, he's going to do demos.
Yeah, and I imagine there will be very big pictures of it and film and so on.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday at 7:30, violinist Gil Shaham, who's an amazing violinist. Wednesday, Bill McKibben. So lots of stuff going on at the Lenzic.
Yes, definitely. Lots of stuff going on at Soul Santa Fe Stage and Grill out there in the former location of the Santa Fe Brewing Company Pub and Grill. Let's see, we have on Monday, November 7th at 7 p.m., we have Upstate New York Indie Rockers Rah Rah Riot. And they are performing with Yellow Ostrich and Delicate Steve. And let's see, tickets are available through SoulSantaFeLive.com. That's going to be a great show. But another great show that's happening on Thursday, the 10th at 7:30 p.m. out there at Soul Stage, Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill, is Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown, which is this great sort of blues rock band. And unlike many others that I've heard lately, who, you know, all tend to sound the same, this guy is sort of a guitar prodigy. He won the Robert Johnson Blues Foundation's New Generation Award at the age of 15. He's 20 years old, and he's one of the most amazing sort of rhythmic guitarists that I've ever heard.
Really?
And he's got an incredible voice. You can go on YouTube and find some.
Wow, you've sold me.
Yeah. You can, you know, I mean, I don't play the guitar, you know, I don't come from blues country, but you know, I love the genre and I love what this guy does to it. He spins it in blues rock in a way that few can.
Excellent.
If you dig like ZZ Top and Steve Vai, if you saw the documentary film called Rock Prophecies, they actually featured Tyler Bryant in the documentary. So go see this show, man. Let's see. It's at 13 and over. If you're under 13 years old, you can't go.
Oh, dear.
It's PG-13.
No 12 and a half.
No, it's PG-14.
Right. And today at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, Carol Sherpa and her book, I Taste Fire, Earth, and Rain, Elements of a Life with Carol Sherpa. She tells the story of her passions for Nepal, its people, culture, and the life of the Sherpa. And then on Tuesday at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, three Yale alumni authors, Monique Truong, Virginia Scharf, and Dora Wang. Truong will read from her second novel, Bitter in the Mouth. Scharf will introduce her most recent book, The Women Jefferson Loved. And Wang will share from her book, The Kitchen Shrink, A Psychiatrist's Reflections on Healing in a Changing World. And the third one I have read, and it is a wonderful book. Mm-hmm. And it's a book about the, among other things, the way managed care has hurt medicine. She works in mental health and how mental health systems have fallen apart because of the payment structure. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful literary novel. I mean, literary memoir. And then on Thursday at Collected Works Bookstore, November 10th at 6 o'clock, Karen Chase and her latest book, Jamali Kamali, A Tale of Passion in Mughal India. And it's about the relationship between a 16th century Sufi poet, Jamali, and his lover, Kamali.
Jamali and Kamali?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a cute couple.
Two nice guys.
Yeah. Let's see. Ooh, I can't overlook the Santa Fe Harvest Festival.
Oh, good. I was just going to talk about that. You talk about it.
No, you talk
no,
about
you.
It.
No, you.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm a judge and it's, you know, weird. But I will tell you that these are the same folks that brought us the New Mexico Restaurant Week. And I believe the original plan was to have a second restaurant week in November, but these guys, they either go big or they go home. And the Harvest Festival, I believe there's like 15 to 20 chefs that are competing, and there's some big guns, and then there's some lesser-known folks that are going to be competing for bragging rights and cash and other things. And there are too many events here to list them all.
Well, I'm going to list one.
Okay.
Santa Fe Harvest Festival, Saturday, November 5th at 11 o'clock, Santa Fe Plaza Restaurant Relay. Teams of four servers from over 20 restaurants race around the plaza carrying trays of drinks.
Yes.
I'm just checking that that's true.
Yes.
1-4, Buffalo Thunder's Painted Parrot Restaurant, first elimination round of the Chef Showdown.
Yes, I will be judging that.
Ah, okay.
And I'm warning the chefs that I helped pick some of the secret ingredients, and they're in for...
And then Sunday at 2 o'clock, Buffalo Thunder Resort Club Warehouse, elimination round of Bar Wars. 20 local bartenders competing in a margarita mix-off.
Now, that's the one I want to judge, but it doesn't
And it goes on from there. But go to SantaFeHarvestFestival.com and find out more.
Yeah. Also
go to CookingWithKids.net.
Yes. This whole sort of event is a fundraiser for Cooking with Kids, which is one of my favorite organizations in Santa Fe.
They are.
I wrote about them last year a lot, and the kids actually sent me a beautiful thank you letter, brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
And so this is a fundraiser for Cooking with Kids, which sort of introduces children to healthy and wholesome foods through hands-on cooking experiences in the classroom. It's basically K-6.
So that in the future they won't point to an onion and say, what's that?
Right. And the cool thing is that you can find sort of lessons and you can find great recipes on the Cooking with Kids website. It's a great organization to support. They are modeled in other places around the country for what they do in the classroom.
Here's another event, Great Outdoor Films, Real Rock Film Tour, on Thursday and Friday, November 10th and 11th. So that's next week, but we're announcing it today because the Thursday is before our next arts calendar. Yeah. So it's at 6 o'clock at the REI Santa Fe Community Room. And they are doing mind-blowing, palm-sweating, pump-fest of climbing flicks.
Oh, my goodness.
Mind-blowing, palm-sweating, pump-fest of climbing flicks. The wildest climbing stories from around the globe, the legendary race for the nose speed record, a 9-year-old bouldering prodigy, Tommy Caldwell's efforts on the hardest big wall free climb, a crazed high-lining champion, the most insane ice climbing action ever, and more. And more.
And more.
And more.
And more.
And then there's
like
more, but we'll read that next week.
We'll read that next week. I believe there's also going to be the sort of like traditional ski flick next week, but I'm not sure where it is. But I'll find out, and I will tell everybody next week.
And you can go to climbsantafe.com, and you can find stuff on there. You can also go to Real Rock Tour, R-E-E-L.
R-E-E-L. Mm-hmm. What else is happening in the movies? You know, maybe we should get them in because we tend to like ramble on.
We forget unless it's the Santa Fe Film Festival and independent film festival.
Yeah, but we tend to ramble on and then we forget to talk about some of the great films that are locally owned and operated theaters.
Yes.
We have Women in the Dirt, Landscape Architects Shaping Our World, which is seven luminaries of landscape architecture are profiled. In this, there is a small capsule review by Pasatiempo contributor Jennifer Levin, and she gives it 2.5 chilies. And then also opening is Anonymous, which is basically a film about Shakespeare. Roland Emmerich, who did sort of Godzilla and Independence Day, presents his version of this theory that Shakespeare was not the author of plays. And Jonathan Richards didn't seem to like it very much, but there's a very probing and entertaining review by Jonathan in today's Pasatiempo. There's all kinds of other stuff going on. We have the Met Live in HD.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention that. I didn't mention it because it's those things are so often sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, one more thing at Site Santa Fe, Tuesday, November 8th, Presumptions and Portrayals, The Education of Charlene Teeters. That's at 6 o'clock. Co-sponsored by David Richard Contemporary. And let's see. Site members can, let's see. Well, for tickets, call 988-1234 or visit ticketsantafe.org.
Indeed. Performance at the screen. A series of high-def screenings with performances. Let's see. Esmeralda, danced by members of Russia's Bolshoi Ballet at 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday, November 9th.
Oh, my goodness.
That's going to be awesome.
Where's that?
That is at the screen. And it's at 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday, November 9th at the screen.
12:30 in the afternoon?
Yes.
We have to go there in the afternoon?
Yes.
You got to go.
Yeah. Revenge of the Electric Car is also screening at CCA Cinematheque. And I love...
They're coming to get you.
I love this capsule review. The last we heard from Electric Car in director Chris Payne's 2006 documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car? It had died. Now it's back, and it's out for revenge.
Exactly.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes.
And Kivira Coalition's annual conference, the New Agrarian Career Connection, is this coming week. It's at the Embassy Suites in Albuquerque. It's open to the public. And let's see, Wednesday, what days is it? Starts on Wednesday. You can go to Kivira Coalition for more information. And they're doing absolutely the cutting edge work about farming and ranching mm-hmm. in a healthy world.
Yes.
Or trying to help it make a healthy world.
Yeah.
Anyway, open to the public. There's a public event on Wednesday, November 9th in Albuquerque, and much, much more.
There's more theater. This is like to support the Teen Arts Center here, Warehouse 21, great organization. Complete History of America, Abridged. The New Mexico School for the Arts presents a play written by students Adam Long, Reed Martin, and Austin Tishner.
Yeah.
At 7 p.m. Tonight, Warehouse 21. This is the final weekend. There's more than one performance.
Yeah, we talked about it with Not last week.
Yeah. But if you call 310-4194, you can find out more information. And if you go to warehouse21.org, you can find out the other shows this weekend, final weekend.
Excellent.
Of the Complete History of America, Abridged.
Wondrous.
Wondrous. Marvelous. What else is happening?
I have an announcement from Camp Love Wave. This Saturday at 11 o'clock right here on KSFR, Camp Love Wave pays tribute to the life and music of the Beatle George Harrison, featuring clips from the HBO documentary George Harrison, Living in the Material World, directed by Martin Scorsese.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I didn't even know about it, but I want to see it now.
Yes.
I will rent it if it is rentable.
If it is rentable. One more great show. Blues band Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears are performing at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday the 8th at Santa Fe Soul, out there on off Highway 14. And tickets are available at ticketsantafe.org, 988-1234. Lots of blues in town over the next few days, which is good. It's the season for it, you know?
Yeah.
Seasonal affective disorder blues.
You getting that already?
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to OHO last weekend, and it was still warm out, and we bathed in pools in the sun. It was the most relaxing day of my whole entire life.
Nice. Did you drink from the arsenic?
You know, I didn't.
No?
No.
I did.
I wanted to live a few more hours.
Oh, it's fine.
Really?
Yeah. It just tastes like water. Because it is.
Because it is. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a great place to go to get rid of the seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah,
because
you're out in the sun all day, even on days where there's not that much sun. You get the full extent of it.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of a tan.
You got a tan?
Yeah. But it went away. But I tan. I'm half Italian.
So it was a temporary tan.
Hey, have you heard about the Latin Diva series? I think it's
Yes. Mostly
in Albuquerque.
Yes, I believe there's a performance at Outpost this week.
Yeah, Lucia Pulido on Saturday, and then on Sunday, Maria Muldaur and Jamie Stone. And let me see, and there's many more, but let me see where those two are. They don't make it easy for you. Let's see. Lucia Pulido at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, and Maria Muldaur, I don't know where.
Yeah. Here's something I think my dad would enjoy. My dad is in town. I haven't seen him in a while. We went out to dinner last night. It was great. But it's part of the Tony Hillerman Writers Conference, which is happening.
Is that here already?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So on Thursday, the Hotel Santa Fe hosts a three-day, starting Thursday, Tony Hillerman Writers Conference. There's a free public event on Thursday. Bruce Held, who's the author and director of who was an author and director of intelligence and counterintelligence at the Department of Energy in Washington, D.C., discusses and signs copies of his book, A Spy's Guide to Santa Fe and Albuquerque.
Nice.
Which
we should read that.
Which I reviewed.
You've read it. Is it good?
Yeah, it's very good. It's, you know, there's a few errors in it, but for the most part, it's a very good book. But if you go to 7 p.m., if you go to the Hotel Santa Fe on Thursday at 7 p.m., you can catch Mr. Held. And there's a story on page 16 about the whole Hillerman Conference. You can find out more information in Pasatiempo. And don't forget, Pasatiempo has a Facebook page now.
Yay,
so
and you're updating it.
Go to Facebook and like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Rob DeWalt is with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. He's with the Paso Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine, the Santa Fe New Mexican. We are streaming on the web at ksfr.org, which means you can hear us in every part of the known universe that has internet connection. And we are podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, which means you can hear the show anytime you want. Thanks to Doubtfoil Computer Services, it means you go to santafe.radiocafe.org and you can hit listen and you can go to past shows and all that kind of good stuff. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Thanks to the wonderful Mary Lynn LeBlanc, who is quietly behind the scenes making gazillions of things happen every day. And we will see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great week.
Enjoy.
Hasta la vista.
Bye.